And good afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hudnall. This is the Ken Hudnall Show. Coming to you from our studios right here in exciting El Paso, Texas. Gateway to the Old West and the most haunted city in the country. Well, June 9th. This year is just flying by. 160th day of the year. The Gregorian calendar. In 411 BC, the Athenian coup succeeded. They had a short-lived oligarchy. In AD 53, Nero married Claudia Octavia. In AD 68, Nero commits suicide after quoting Homer's Iliad. This ended the Julio-Claudian dynasty and started a civil war known as the Year of the Four Emperors. 721, Odo of Aquitaine defeats the Moors in the Battle of Toulouse. 747, Abbasid Revolution. Abu Muslim Khorasani begins an open revolt against the Umayyad rule, which is carried out under the sign of the Black Standard. 1311, Duccio's Maesta. Seminal artwork of the early Italian Renaissance unveiled and installed in Siena Cathedral in Siena, Italy. 1523, the Parisian Faculty of Theology finds Simon de Colonis publishing the biblical commentary. You know, that's been one problem we've had since the beginning of Christianity. The powers that be think they are the end-all, be-all. And if you don't agree with them, you're wrong. 1534, Jacques Cartier is the first European to describe map the St. Lawrence River. 1667, the raid on the Medway by the Dutch fleet begins. This was part of the Second Anglo-Dutch War. Lasted 5 days and results in the worst defeat ever suffered by the Royal Navy. 1732, James Oglethorpe is granted a royal charter for the colony of what became the U.S. state of Georgia. 1772, the British schooner Gaspé is burned in Narragansett Bay, Rhode Island. 1798, Irish Rebellion of 1798, the battles of Arklow and St. Field. 1815, end of the Congress of Vienna. The new European political situation is set out. 1856, 500 Mormons leave Iowa City, Iowa for the Mormon Trail. 1862, Stonewall Jackson concludes a successful Shenandoah Valley campaign. Won a victory in the Battle of Port Republic. In fact, militaries around the world now study his tactics. 1863, Battle of Brandy Station in Virginia. 1865, Treaty of Tientsin is signed in the Sino-French War. China eventually gave up Tonkin and Annam, most of present-day Vietnam, to France. 1900, Indian nationalist Birsa Munda dies of cholera in a British prison. 1915, William Jennings Bryan resigned as Woodrow Wilson's Secretary of State over a disagreement about the United States' handling of the sinking of the Lusitania. 1923, Bulgaria's military takes over the government in a coup. 1928, Charles Kingsford Smith completes the first trans-Pacific flight in a Fokker trimotor monoplane. It's called the Southern Cross. 1930, Chicago Tribune reporter Jake Lingle's killed during rush hour at Illinois Central train station by Leo Vincent Brothers. Over $100,000 gambling debt said to have been owed to Al Capone. 1944, 99 civilians are hung from lamppost and balconies for German troops in Toul, France, in reprisal for the Marquis Sade's attacks on German soldiers. Also in 1944, the Soviet Union invaded East Karelia and the previously Finnish part of Karelia occupied by Finland since 1941. 1948, foundation of the International Council on Archives under the auspices of UNESCO. 1953, the Front Worcester tornado outbreak sequence kills 94 people in Massachusetts. 1954, Joseph Welsh, special counsel for the United States Army, lashed out at McCarthy during the Army-McCarthy hearings, giving McCarthy the famous rebuke, "You've done enough. You have no sense of decency, sir, at long last. Have you left no sense of decency?" 1957, the first ascent of Broad Peak by Fritz Winterseller, Marcus Smuck, and Kurt Demberger and Herman Ball. 1959, USS George Washington is launched, the first nuclear-powered ballistic missile submarine. 1965, the civilian prime minister of South Vietnam, Phan Huy Quat, resigns after being unable to work with a junta led by Cao Ky. 1965, the Viet Cong commences combat with the Army of the Republic of Vietnam in the Battle of Dong Hai, one of the largest battles in the war. 1967, in the 6 Days War, Israel captures the Golan Heights from Syria. 1968, LBJ declared a national day of mourning following the assassination of Robert Kennedy. 1972, severe rainfall causes a dam in the Black Hills of South Dakota to burst. The flood killed 238 and caused $160 million in damages. 1973, Secretariat wins the U.S. Triple Crown. 1978, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints opened its priesthood to all worthy men, ending a 148-year-old policy of excluding black men. 1979, the ghost train fire at Luna Park in Sydney, Australia, kills 7. 1999, in the Kosovo War, the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia and NATO signed a peace treaty. 2008, two bombs explode at a train station near Algiers, Algeria, kill 13. 2009, an explosion kills 17 and injures 46 at a hotel in Peshawar, Pakistan. And in 2010, at least 40 people are killed and more than 70 wounded in a suicide bombing at a wedding in Agandab, Kandahar. I've never understood the philosophy of the suicide bomber. You go out making a major statement, please. All right. Holidays. The anniversary of the accession of King Abdullah II in Jordan. In the Aland Islands, Autonomy Day. Christian feast days, 18th of Lindisfarne. That's in the Evangelical Lutheran Church here in the U.S. Beatty, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Columba. Ephraim the Syrian, Roman Catholic Church and Church of England. Jose de Anchieta, Primus and Felician. Coral Triangle Day. La Rioja Day in La Rioja. Murcia Day in Murcia. National Heroes Day in Uganda. Well, we talked yesterday about hauntings in the state of Connecticut. There have been quite a number. In Milford, Connecticut, Charles Island, located off of Silver Sand State Beach. Now, this island's got an unusually long and mysterious history. It was a point of conflict between English settlers and the Wipeyawag Indians, who regarded the island as a sacred ground. Following the defeat of the natives, the chief put a curse on the island, pronouncing any shelter will crumble to the earth and he'll be cursed. And about 25 years after the defeat of the tribe, the notorious pirate Captain Kidd, who knew the island's reputation, is known to have buried part of his treasure on the island. And treasure hunters from around the country still go there to look for what he hid. It's said in 1850, two men found it only to run away from the island, screaming about a screeching, flaming skeleton descending from the sky. Both are said to have spent the remainder of their lives sitting in an asylum. At the end of the 18th century, a monastery is built on the island. After the monks moved in, dismissing the curse as pagan savagery in Indian folklore, there was a series of mysterious deaths and suicide and number of folks went insane. Subsequent intensifying hauntings forced him to abandon the monastery. In fact, if you go there today, you can see the crumbling ruins. In the 1950s, an attempt was made to open a seaside restaurant and lodge on the island. A devastating and lethal fire, still the cause of which is still unknown, ended whatever building projects were scheduled. Nobody's built on it since. And all that's left from this attempt to build a restaurant is a tumbling brick wall. Hikers report seeing glowing specters flitting through the trees, hearing disembodied voices, and seeing phantom monks make processionals through the monastic ruins. One also hears of seeing nighttime Indian festivals and hearing jazz music near the old side of the restaurant. The only way to get to the island, other than by boat, is a mysterious causeway that only surfaces from the sea at low tide. In the summer, people frequent the island for its beach and seclusion, and it's got a number of very nice nature trails. It's said the ghost won't bother you if you respect them. Just don't build. Whatever you do, don't dig. Now, Captain Kidd was actually a British seaman who was hired to become a privateer. And Milford is St. Mary's Cemetery. Witnesses reported seeing a lady in a long white gown running through the graveyard, looking for her long-lost husband who went away to World War I, and it said he never came home. In Monroe, Union Cemetery, been a lot of sightings of different ghosts at different times in this cemetery. Most common sighting is of a lady in white with a white glow around her who walks the cemeteries, said to be usually around midnight. A lot of witnesses have reported seeing her. Seems to be looking for a particular grave of a loved one, but when she's approached, she'll fade away. Moodus Lake. Said it at night. If you're out by the lake, you hear the sounds of a piano being played. It seems to be coming from the bottom of the lake. Naugatuck, Guntown Cemetery. This area has become popular as a hangout spot for kids. Residents and even the Warrens, that couple that used to investigate paranormal events, talk about ghostly activity that occurs here. Witnesses have heard children laughing far into the field behind the cemetery, and as they stayed longer each time, the children's laughing grew as close as it appeared to be behind the back wall of the cemetery. They also heard old ragtime music playing in the woods near the cemetery, but they never found anybody that might be responsible for it. New Britain, Connecticut, haunted reservoir. There's an abandoned house near the New Britain Reservoir in the area of Crescent Lake, said to have been badly burned and forgotten after a man and woman were killed in a fire there. This small brick house has one main room, and inside has odd-looking gauges and dials and metal cases. One young man who visited beckoned the ghosts to make themselves known. After a few seconds of taunting, his foot fell through the floor. In fact, it went in up to his thigh, and he nearly wound up in the basement. Others have reported feelings of sadness, anxiety, and feeling that they're being watched while in the house. I've got an updated report on this particular haunted location. The house has been torn down, but it said the ghosts are still seen around where the house was. New Haven, Connecticut, Albertus Magnus College. Several of the mansions have been converted to dorms, and they're said to be haunted. One is haunted by a woman in a green dress and a small boy who looks to be about 8 to 10. Boy tends to be looking for a playmate. When alive, he was often said to have been locked in the attic by himself. He'll move objects, change the orientation of other objects, and sometimes just stand in the hallway and watch. New Haven, also at Albertus Magnus College. Dominican Hall. This is the former Yale Psychiatric Institute. Activities reported are knocking on walls, stereos and televisions being turned on or off, especially when there's a lot of noise or the music is too loud. Sounds of doors slamming and people running through the halls when there's nobody there, and a number of witnesses are reported hearing voices. And sometimes these spirits appear in photos too. And in McAuliffe Hall at Albertus Magnus College, it's said to be haunted by a small boy and a woman. It's possibly true, but she's believed to haunt the front staircase, and around midnight, if you're not holding the rail, she'll actually shove you. It's reported by one individual when they first moved into the house. The woman used to begin singing every night at 10 p.m. Since he was an insomniac to begin with, he found this annoying and finally asked the woman to stop, and after a time, she did. Rosary Hall at Albertus Magnus College, also in New Haven. Rosary has an antique elevator. It's no longer in use. A number of students, faculty members, and staff have reported feeling an evil presence around the elevator. And sometimes they've encountered freezing cold blasts of air coming down the shaft and heard moaning sounds. Also in New Haven, Cemetery Boulevard and Congress Avenue. There's a spirit there known as Midnight Mary. And her grave has an interesting inscription on the tombstone. And they shall pass away at midnight. Visitors who are there at midnight see apparitions and have a number of interesting, encounters. New Haven, Fort Nathan Hale. Along the beach, a battle took place. And there are a number of underground bunkers. Now, they're blocked off with gates, but inside the bunkers, there have been sightings of glowing green orbs. Along the beach and outside the bunkers, ghostly figures of soldiers have been seen, still going about their duties. Then also in New Haven, Lighthouse Park. Lighthouse Park, around midnight, you can hear the carousel running and little kids giggling, even though there's no one there. New Haven, the old Union Trust building, now it's First Union, stands on the corner of Elm and Church Street in New Haven. It's the most haunted structure in the center of town. For years, countless paranormal activities have been seen at this location. According to witnesses, they've heard footsteps creeping down stairways late at night when the building is empty. They've heard banging on the walls, seen orbs, and captured ghostly images on camera. Others have seen ghosts walking in offices, heard their names being called, seen the lights go on and off, heard the toilets flush, and there's nobody using them. Now, the most active ghost in the building is said to be the one that haunts the basement. Witnesses have heard three loud hits to the cement wall by a human hand, but when they investigate, they never find anybody. The assistant property manager once heard moans within the wall, along with the banging. There's actually a website that talks about the old Union Trust building. geocities.com/epace/the_haunted_skyscraper.html. New Haven, Southern Connecticut State University, the common area. Number of witnesses report seeing a black misty figure floating around the common area. Then also at the Southern Connecticut State University, the North Campus dorms, one resident reported waking up and seeing a massive black force hovering over his bed. It was paralyzing him, trying to hold him down. Sometime later, a small circle with a symbol in it appeared to be burned into the wall over the bed where there hadn't been any before. Doors are reportedly opened by themselves. Closed and locked windows would be opened every time the room was empty. Faucets would be turned on and off by themselves, and the closets would rattle. One psychic investigator is reported to have cleansed the room. She said it was the spirit of a young boy killed on this location when it was farmland. She also said the spirit of the young boy had invited in several other negative spirits, and previous occupants of the room have reported a lot of unusual activities. And also in New London, Eugene O'Neill's childhood home. The great American playwright based his classic A Long Day's Journey Into Night after his childhood home, in which he shared with his family. His mother, who reportedly suffered severe depression, would sneak into a small room next to Eugene O'Neill's room, and you'd hear her crying and giggling to herself throughout the night. She supposedly would inhale methane while in there. Been a lot of reports, especially by people who work there. It's a museum these days, of hearing footsteps in that small room. A number report feeling they're being followed about the house as they go about their duties. They've encountered cold spots, and the most eerie of all, the sounds of sobbing and giggling. If you take the tour, you can see this unusual little room for yourself. It's described as being very creepy. Also in New London, Ledge Lighthouse. Been reports of people seeing lights and hearing strange noises coming from Ledge Lighthouse. The lighthouse is now inoperable. It's believed to be haunted by a lighthouse keeper that committed suicide there. Also in New London, the Lighthouse Inn has various rooms that are said to be haunted. And there are two ghostly Victorian women who are said to roam the hallways at night. If you encounter them, they're suddenly not there. New London, Quaker Hill, Gallows Lane. Said this is where a lot of witches were supposed to have been burned, even though there's no record that this actually took place. But if you walk down the road, even in one of my connections has come unfastened. There we go. We're back in business. If you walk down this road, even in the middle of the day, you get the feeling you're being watched, and you hear what sounds like someone following you. One person who's done a seance there reports that there was the shrill voice of an old woman that was heard that told him to go away and never come back. But when he looked around, there was no one in sight. Most people in that area, you won't go down that road alone, especially not at night. St. Mary's School in New London. Some students have said the basement, which used to be the restrooms before 2001, is haunted. Students have gone down there alone. It felt like they were being watched. Urban legend reports the last three bathroom stalls in the basement were haunted. A janitor supposedly died in the bathroom. Basement bathrooms have been closed, and the basement's no longer accessible to students. And before you think it's odd that ghosts haunt restrooms, there was some underground restrooms here in El Paso that were quite haunted. In fact, to the point the city had to close them off. New Milford, Bank Street Coffee House. Witnesses reported hearing footsteps coming upstairs from the basement and seeing items move on their own in the kitchen. Number of shadowy figures and unexplained footsteps have been reported by both staff and guests. Newington, a Cedar Hill mental institution. There's an old mental institution. It's now boarded up and abandoned. According to the local legend, many people committed suicide in that place. You can see little orbs and figures glowing. If you manage to be able to look through any of the windows. You can also hear moaning and a number of other strange sounds. There's now a new mental institution that has patients in it, but this old institution is still on the property. It's said to be occupied by disturbed souls who are afraid to leave. Then in Newtown, Serenius H. Booth Library. The only public library in Newtown on Main Street is haunted by Mary Hawley, the daughter of Booth, whom the library was named after. The building used to be her home, and her room was on the top floor, which they used to let people see, but they've locked it up and after they made some modifications to the building. Experiences reported by witnesses range from feelings of that there's someone else nearby to seeing shadowy figures in the corner of the room to actual encounters of what was supposedly Mary's ghost. Now, nothing's been said about her since the addition to the building was put on, but then again, there's been nobody in her room either. Perhaps she just wants to be left alone. North Branford, Greystone. It's said it can be a very ugly place. There's a man reported who walks about. He uses a cane, but the cane is always dripping with blood. And a number of witnesses reported the sound of screaming voices. And it's very dark and cold there. Then in North Branford, Dragonback Woods. At night, witnesses report hearing voices and hearing the sounds of people walking around, even though there's no one there. A lot of orbs have been spotted. In the middle of the summer, it gets really cold at night, and sometimes unexplained symbols will appear in the dirt. North Haven, Grove Road. There's a building there. Water has been reported to come from the ceiling, even though there are no pipes in the ceiling. No water on the floor. Middle bedroom gets extremely cold. And the wife of the couple that lived there committed suicide by carbon monoxide poisoning. And it said she still haunts the place. Then in Norfolk, Connecticut, Blackberry River Inn. But a lot of reports of folks seeing the white lady walking through the main inn, second floor, and walking back to the empty house in the back of the property. Nobody seems to know who she is, or at least if they do, they won't admit it. Also in Norfolk is Botelli Elementary School. Witnesses have reported hearing the sounds of doors slamming when they're the only ones on the floor. North Haven, Fire Headquarters. Ghost of deceased firefighter Albert Brunel is said to be seen sitting in the back of Emergency 1 smoking a cigar. Most people will see him, look away, and when they look back, they don't see anything but a quick fog followed by a small pigeon flying by the out of the firehouse. Norwich, Connecticut, the Norwich State Psychiatric Hospital. Witnesses report while visiting this place, you can walk through patients' rooms and hear a woman sobbing. If you go into one building on the third floor, this used to be where they performed lobotomies years ago, you can hear beeping sounds, even though there are no machines there. Walking on the grounds, no matter what building you're near, you hear bellowing. As of February 2007, I have a report that this area is patrolled by guards who will call the police if you're seen. Norwalk, cemetery behind Matthews Mansion. A witness who was walking home over the I-95 Yankee Doodle Bridge saw a grayish-white mist with a woman's face in it travel across the highway off-ramp through the woods into the cemetery. When they attempted to follow, of course, they didn't find anybody. Oakdale, Gardner Lake, St. Thomas More. At St. Thomas More Preparatory Boarding School, there is a chapel on Garner Lake. Many years ago, people had taken pictures of the chapel in which a little girl appeared, even though there was no little girl there. Recently, there's been a lot of sightings of this little girl made by those who knew about the picture. She would stand in people's rooms in the Edmonds dormitories, staring at the corner of the room, crying and tapping on the walls. It would appear she was in what you might call a timeout or being punished, made to stand in the corner. Many of those who witnessed the girl, they claimed that after they had seen her, they had a strange dream that seemed to involve her. Oakville, Seeley's Parking Lot in Riverside Street. Those who've parked in his parking lot at night report hearing the sound of women screaming, seeing orbs floating across the area. They've even been able to record electronic voice phenomenon and see shadow people. Old Mystic, Connecticut. Red Brook Inn. The north room of the Red Brook Inn is haunted by a former owner. Her name was Sally Crary. Legend has it that after the death of his wife in 1979, Mr. Crary married his wife's best friend. Since then, the spirit of Ms. Crary haunts the north room of this bed and breakfast. There are moving coal spots and voices have been heard in quite a number of areas. Apparently, she wasn't too enamored with the idea of her husband marrying her best friend. Old Weathersfield, American Legion, Post 23. Number of people who have explored this building report they've taken photographs and seen many orbs. In fact, there's so many orbs it's hard to see the actual picture. Orange, Connecticut, Edison Road. There's a vacant lot where there used to be a barn and a house. According to the story, several years ago, fire burned the house down and two people died in the blaze. People in the businesses and the surrounding area report seeing strange activities at night. The feeling that someone or something is watching them and an overall feeling of dread are common occurrences here. In Oxford, Connecticut, Hookman Cemetery. But it's believed in the 1900s, the caretaker of the cemetery had a hook in place of a hand, would sometimes kill anyone who stayed later than the others. Also on the field behind the cemetery, there used to be a house where a family once lived, and according to the story, the young son of the family killed the remaining family members and then committed suicide. House was knocked down years ago, but on Halloween it appears briefly to those who sit quietly and wait. Been a number of anomalies in the area. Plainfield, Connecticut, Plainfield High School. A student who was considered to have limitless potential was murdered, and he now haunts the building. A number of witnesses report seeing the word intrinsic written on many objects in the building, most notably the wood doors. It's not confirmed, but according to legend, the student used intrinsic as the basis for much of his poetry. A number of folks who spent time there report a shortness of breath and power outages are frequent. Now, I've got an update. Plainfield has a huge problem with mold in many of the rooms, which is why many students and faculty have problems with shortness of breath. One resident reports having never heard the rumor that a student was murdered and that had immense potential and any of the weird things that supposedly happened, but there's just as many others who say that they did hear the story about the murder. And I can tell you from personal experience that there is something called mold illness that will give you shortness of breath. Pomfret, Barnhack. Barnhack is a lost settlement that eventually became the township of Pomfret, Connecticut. It's now located on private property. The most common signs of ghostly presences in the building are voices of farmers and mothers calling to their children, the sounds of laughing children, whistling, talking, orbs of light that float around, people swinging or sitting on the trees. Energy trails can be seen in the darkness, sounds of farm animals and footsteps. A lot of these stories are reported to have been encountered between 10 and 11 at night in the graveyard or over at the old mill. Portland, Spooksville. Used to be an old insane asylum there. If you go there, the building is gone, but you can still see the layout of the building. And some say, late at night, you can hear the screams of the patients. There's also an old bomb site where they used to make and test bombs. An update I have says it used to be an old Nike missile site that was built in the 50s and early 60s that protected cities like Hartford from Russian bomber strikes coming over from Russia across the North Pole. The abandoned structure is said to have actually been the control center, and the lowest site's the magazine launch area where the missiles were stored and launched. So, depending on which set of stories you believe, either way, it's got an interesting history. Preston, Connecticut, Captain Grant's Inn. A lot of folks think it's haunted. Apparently, at one time before it was an inn, two sisters didn't get along, lived there, and after they died, they just didn't leave. And anyone who comes into what is their house, they try to get them to leave. Putnam, we have Blood Cemetery. Many people talk about this haunted cemetery, but there's actually no evidence that actually existed. Also in Putnam Housing. Been many sightings of ectoplasm and a lot of orbs and pictures taken at these locations. Also been reports of very strange happenings, objects being thrown, even a black shadow that was apparently caught on film. Reading, Connecticut, Topstone Road. There's a small field on the right of the train tracks before the overpass. Usually at night, a lot of witnesses have got the orbs of photographs of orbs and seen a tent with a light burning inside. And when they approach the tent, they can never find it. Salem, Connecticut, Gardner's Lake. Reports of apparitions showing up on photographs have been made. Also in Salem Town Hall. Said to be haunted by the spirit of a man who hung himself on the radio tower. The ghost walks the hallway, slams door, shuts off light, locks doors, walks up the old steps that have since been removed. You hear the sound of the steps creaking as he goes up. Barometers will rise and cold spots have been reported. Seymour, Connecticut, the Carousel Gardens, said to be haunted by a woman that used to live there. It was a mansion converted into a restaurant in the mid-60s. Now, according to the story, she lived there with her brother for many years, but they rarely spoke to each other. And for whatever reason, when she died, she didn't want to leave what was her home. Seymour, Great Hill Road. A few years back, a man was killed while riding his motorcycle. He went around a sharp turn going down Grant Hill Road. It's been reported a man was driving down the road heading for this specific turn and saw the ghost of the motorcycle. And, in fact, as he got close, he saw the rider of the motorcycle raise his hand to slow down, and at that point in time, the man's car stalled out. Shelton, East Village Cemetery. If you walk in, you often hear a young girl's voice say hello, and then later, if you stay long enough, you see a dark shadow figure run and across the entrance. And then you'll see it appear to be hiding behind the tombstones. When you're leaving, you'll hear that young girl's voice again, but you won't be able to understand what she says this time. Shelton, Indian Wells State Park. Supposedly, the park is haunted by what's called a white lady. Some say she was killed there on her wedding day, hence the white lady title. Others insist she's one of several children or young people killed by a train while playing cards on the railroad track during the 1930s. According to research done on this story, there were actually 5 kids playing cards on the track that day. 4 were hit by the train and killed, and the other one said to have died of fright. Now, I have to question why anybody would play cards on the railroad track, but then again, I wasn't there. Shelton, White Hill Cemetery. Walking through the cemetery, you hear footsteps walking behind you, but when you turn around, there's nobody there. And if you stay long enough, you see a white figure running around in the back of the cemetery. And as you walk out, you'll hear a voice say, bye-bye. See you again. Simsbury, Connecticut, the Chart House. It's an old restaurant that has the spirit of a woman who's described as being very friendly residing there. Employees like to tell stories about her. She does stuff like shut off the lights if they've been left on. She closes the doors at closing time. I mean, I guess you could say she's a helpful ghost. Simsbury, Ensign Bickford. In the north end of Ensign Bickford, there's a row of buildings that are reported to be haunted by an older worker of the plant. Nobody's sure of what his past was, but it makes itself known every once in a while. People report encountering cold spots, and when he arrives, you always hear sounds. He announces his presence. And there's a white mist that's seen there many times at night. Summers, Durkee Road. Man's rumored to have killed himself on the water tower. He was high on acid. He'd been having an acid party with friends. And he's seen by people walking on the side of the road at about 10 p.m., which is when he supposedly died. According to the story, he climbed up the tower and thought he could fly. And he jumped. 145 Main Street in Summers. But a number of stories reported by employees say that when alone in the back banquet hall or the back kitchen, the lights will flicker on and off by themselves and tables and chairs will move. Some have reported feelings of fright and chills when in the back by themselves. Many employees refuse to go back there alone. Some swear they've seen figures in reflections in the banquet hall mirrors and swear they feel somebody tapping them on the shoulder, but when they turn around, there's no one there. Southington, Meridian Avenue. This building's an old funeral home. It's said that when it closed down, a family moved into it and made a home out of it. Strange things started happening almost immediately. The two boys lived in their room in the basement, which used to be the morgue. They reported seeing people working on bodies of dead people, and in fact, one boy was said to have been possessed by a demon. They had to perform an exorcism on the house, and some claim you can still see ghosts of dead people moving about the basement. Some said the sign that used to have the name of the funeral home next to the door has been washed and painted over, but you can still see it. Stratford, Connecticut, the Phelps Mansion. Before the mansion was built, a lady named Goody Bassett was burned at the stake for being a witch, and it was supposed to be at this location. After the house was built, lots of people have been drawn out of it. Legend has it, if you stare at a mirror in the house, you won't see your face, you'll see Goody Bassett's, and she'll prick your arm with a needle for staring at her. Well, Phelps was actually owned by Reverend Ellicombe Phelps and his family in the 1800s. But the history of Phelps still intrigues people. Reverend Ellicombe Phelps was returning to his home on Elm Street in Stratford after Sunday service on March 14, 1850. With him was his wife, two sons, aged 3 and 11, and two daughters, aged 6 and 16. When they entered the house, they found the interior in shambles. Furniture, food, and expensive china had been thrown around the downstairs room. The Reverend Phelps thought the house was burglarized until he entered the dining room. He then concluded that demons had come into his home. Well, I got an update from 2007. The house is in It's just a repeat of I get updates sent to me quite often. Stratford Booth Memorial Park. There's an large area of negative energy that's known to be haunted by a man who can be seen if photographed. There's a large white house in the park, and if you photograph the top windows, quite often he's seen looking out the window. Stafford Springs, Hamden Road. Hamden Road runs up a small mountain, and ghost-like figures have been seen and felt walking through the woods. The mountain's populated, but there is a large area of uninhabited forest. Stepney, Connecticut, the Stepney Cemetery. People have been able to take ghost photos there for quite some time. Nobody seems to know the history of the ghost. They just know they're there. Sterling, Vollian Town, the Pechang State Forest, Hell's Hollow, and Maud's Grave. Now, these were formerly listed as three separate locations. Maud's Grave can be approached far more easily from the Sterling end of Hell Hollow Road and is actually on that side, not Voluntown. The grave is a pile of rocks about 10 feet from the road on the right side if you're coming down from Sterling. It can be found from a cleared path. It can easily be visited without being bothered. Sightings of a 17-foot-tall black flash have been seen about 2 feet off the ground. Usually, it's seen crossing a road in car headlights. And sometimes it'll even chase the car. There's according to the story, an Indian girl was killed by English soldiers in a section of that forest. And ever since that time, cries and screams attributed to her have been heard. Ghost of a little girl named Maud has been appearing for over 100 years on Hell Hollow Road near her gravesite. When riding in the car and her name is uttered by, as you go by her gravesite, the car is supposed to either stall or crash. And a lot of orbs have been seen. And a man has been seen running through the woods at the same speed as the car. And in Storrs, Connecticut, University of Connecticut, at a dorm, room 501, on the alumni quad. Folks in that room reported an inability to breathe, and sometimes cold breezes will come through the room and the windows close, and those who've been in the room report feeling hands squeezing their shoulder, tapping and door rattling when there's nobody else around. Suffield, the Kent Mansion. This abandoned mansion's been seen with lights on, with shadows in the windows, even in the carriage house. Now, the carriage house has since been torn down. It's believed to be haunted by its past benefactor, Sidney Albert Kent. A lot of occurrences of a mischievous conduct take place. Pictures fall and break, light fixtures fall. Dogs are scared of certain areas, but only at certain times. And the lights mysteriously go on when they're known to be off. The back hall second floor has coal spots that a lot of witnesses have reported encountering. Thomaston, the St. Thomas Church. The school and church basement is haunted. In the basement, you can see an orb glowing in the hallways. Footsteps are heard downstairs, even when there's nobody there. Also, people have seen chairs and tables moving around. In the school, you feel the presence sometimes of another person, and everybody who went there refused to go in there at night. The school is believed by many to be haunted by a priest who preached there but died in the building. He left $1 million for it to stay open. Of course, you have to ask yourself where a priest got $1 million. Then in Thomaston, you have the Thomaston Opera House. Firehouse. For many years, there was a fire damage that affected the entire theater. In recent years, it was restored. Rumors of ghosts of people who died in the fire. Many people experience a feeling of being watched when they're alone in the theater. The old firehouse next door is apparently haunted as well, though there's not much information on it at that time. They've now turned the old fire station next door to the Opera House into a teen center called The Place. It was actually gutted and restored for the local teens to have a hangout. Tolan, the Benton Homestead. Witnesses reported seeing several entities, including Jemima Barrows, betrothed to one of the Benton boys who died from smallpox. She wanders the hall in her wedding dress. Hessen's soldier's been seen on the front steps. A man in colonial-era clothes in the dining room has been seen. A malevolent presence on the second floor was felt by one member of the Tolan Historical Society. Torrington Hilltop Inn Restaurant. Witnesses have seen a little girl there many times in the 1800s, and to this day, young children still see her. Not a lot of older people do, but the young ones do. Torrington, Oak Avenue Haunting. Elk Avenue in Torrington is haunted by a little girl who was killed in the 1950s. She was killed in a semi-wooded area about a mile from Route 8. She said to walk the street holding a dog collar, wearing a long white shredded dress. Locals have reported seeing her on foggy nights during a full moon. She said to wander this area crying. She's best seen in the early winter season. A number of locals have reported they tried to approach her, and when they get close, she said to vanish into the fog. Torrington, the Warner Theater. This is a 1900s theater in the town of Torrington, Connecticut. It's said to be haunted by a ghost. The ghost is said to be named Murph, and he was a homeless guy who was trying to break into the theater to spend the night because it gets very cold in Connecticut. According to the story, he was drunk and fell down the stairs leading to the basement. People have felt cold wind in the middle of summer with no air conditioning, and performers have seen things on the balcony during rehearsals. Lights also go on and off when there's nobody around them. Also, the story of a huge control level that controls all the lights in the building. It takes two or three people to pull it down. One day, there were two people in the theater, and they were away from the lever, and all of a sudden, the lights went out. They went back, checked it out, and found out the lever had been switched off. How that happened, they never could figure out. Unionville Cemetery. This cemetery is said to be home to multiple hauntings. One of the best known is the White Lady. She said they went to the cemetery around midnight. Witnesses reported seeing multiple orbs of light, hearing voices, and other apparitions. On Halloween, the local police stake out the cemetery, wanting to keep kids out. Voluntown, Breakneck Hill Road. There's a guard that's been reported randomly walking back and forth at a bend in the Breakneck Hill Road. It's a soldier from the Narragansett Wars of the late 1600s. A tattered colonial soldier carries a long musket over his right shoulder and marches across the road. Wallingford, the old gas station. There was a house that burned down, and they built a gas station where the house had been. It was later shut down due to some paranormal occurrences. For instance, two girls went in there to use the bathroom, and suddenly they heard banging on the door and on the wall behind them. It's so loud and so hard, the mirror started to shake. Of course, they freaked out and ran out. Other encounters and sightings have also been reported. Wallingford, the Moses Beach Grade School. At night, the neighbors of the school report to hear music and see lights in the gym. Police would come and investigate only to walk into the school and find the music and the lights shut off abruptly. Some people believe that the prom or homecoming was supposed to be the night of the tornado that destroyed the high school that was there before the elementary school. You could hear doors close and loud footsteps behind you. Hear rolling carts in the hallway and hear drawers open and close and computers have powered up by themselves. One encounter seen by the school janitor was of a young girl sitting in the corner of the gymnasium crying and pointing at the bleachers saying, "Look at the lady in white by the coat rack. She's crying." Well, there's no coat rack in the gym. Back in the early days of the school, though, a child fell through the roof of the building. And after a tragic event, it was never specified what that tragic event was, school was used as a morgue. Wallingford, the Shell Station, now a Texaco station. Once a hotel that had a fire stood at that location. Most of the people inside the hotel died. Then the Shell Station was built in its place. Been a number of hauntings that resulted in the station going out of business. The hauntings scared away not only the customers, but the workers as well. Neighbors also claim to see lights in the building at night. Wallingford, Tilcon, haunted by a man killed while working at the plant. Workers report machines turning on by themselves, lanterns carried with no one around. Then they see him standing up on the catwalk and they smell smoke when there's nobody there. They also report they feel like they're being watched and strobes of light have been spotted floating around. Let's see, Whirlwind Road in Wallingford. Lady in white back in the 1930s. She's left at the altar on her wedding day. She's so depressed, she drowned herself. Motorists have seen her on the side of the road, totally soaked, and asking for a ride, but as soon as they look away from her, she disappears. A few police officers have also tried to help her. Wallingford, the Yankee Silversmith Inn restaurant used to be an inn back in the 1800s. Rumor has it a man committed suicide in one of the rooms after being... After it was changed into an eating establishment and banquet hall, the staff has seen a ghost walking up and down the stairs after a late night, after all the guests have left. And as you walk up the stairs, you quite often have the feeling there's somebody behind you. And the final piece of evidence is that there is a photo of a white ghostly image in the brochure for the hall. No member of management can explain how that photo got in the brochure. Waterbury, Connecticut. What's known as the Holy Land. In February 1985, a number of witnesses observed a ghostly woman enter a phantom car about 5 feet above the front gate and drive off. The story could be backed up by newspaper articles written the next day. That's the only known happening of this type since that event. Watertown, Leatherman's Cave, Muddy Tuck Trail. Cave was formerly inhabited by the Leatherman, thought to be an individual named Jules Bourglay, who got his name from always being dressed in 60 pounds of leather. This mysterious vagabond would endlessly walk a 365-mile loop between the Connecticut and Hudson Rivers. He did this 360 times between 1858 and 1889, stopping to rest in caves along the way. Local folks donated extra food to him whenever he was in their town. His body was found in the Sawmill Woods cave in Sing Sing, New York in 1889. He supposedly haunts the caves that he used to occupy when he made his trek. This particular cave in Watertown was the most popular. It's located on the Matatuck Trail, approximately 2 miles southeast of Black Rock State Park on Route 6 in Watertown. Then we have the Main Street Graveyard in Watertown. On the corner of French and Main Streets in Watertown, there's a graveyard that's been reported to be haunted. At night, you can see small orbs of light low to the ground floating around. If you go in with a tape recorder and let it play and then play it back, you hear little girls crying and telling you to leave. You also hear doctors talking. It's even been reported to have an old soldier with a dirty, torn war uniform that follows you around as you walk through the cemetery. Then there's Watertown High School. Around 1988 to 1993, a high school football star committed suicide by hanging himself from the bleachers of a playing field, supposedly because his girlfriend had dumped him. He went and got drunk, and then he was so depressed he killed himself. His father was the football coach at the high school, and while on his morning jog around the field, he found his son's body hanging from the bleachers. After the father died, his presence had been felt in the hallway of the school, right near the boys' locker room where he suited up for football games for years. Witness described the feeling as getting chills down the back of your neck every time they walked by that particular area. Football was his kid's life, and the pressure on him was doubly worse because his father was the football coach. And his ex-girlfriend seemed to vanish off the face of the earth after he died. She never came back to Watertown High. The story can be verified in newspapers from the time. West Hartford, King Philip Middle School, room 22. A child who was murdered has been known to roam the halls of King Philip Middle School, especially room 22. They say that until his body is found, he'll kill a person every Halloween. West Hartford, Noah Webster House. Neighbors have said they've seen the ghosts of women walking the halls carrying lamps. Sometimes the orbs have been seen in the yards. Also, at Norfelt School in West Hartford, a ghost is heard and seen playing the piano. When they try to approach the individual playing the piano, suddenly there's nobody there. West Haven, Campbell Avenue, Buckle Factory. Inside the building, there's said to be a lot of ghosts. They're seen sometimes in the windows and walking around out back. If you go in, you have to be very, very careful. But as you wander about, you hear people talking. The grass will move in certain spots when there's no wind blowing, and sudden cold spots are encountered. And there's a number of orbs, places also known as Hell House. West Haven, Savin Rock, near the El Casino restaurant. Young lady known as Darcy is seen wearing a pale yellow dress. She's been said to haunt this area for quite some time. She walks along the beach on foggy nights and then disappear into the fog if you approach her. A number of people reported hearing her sob. The woman whose body washed ashore was actually named Jenny Kramer. Some newspapers from the time, the two suspects that were charged were said to be brothers, and other papers said to be cousins, James Malley and Walter Malley. And it's thought that Darcy is actually Jenny Kramer. Well, we've come to the end of another show. We'll be back tomorrow night when, once again, you'll be listening to Ken Hudnall and the Ken Hudnall Show. Until then, have a great evening.